On January 29, 2026, more than 40 state legislators from 13 states, including Bozeman State Senator Cora Newman, met in person with more than 100 state legislators from 27 states who joined them virtually to participate in a day of solidarity convened by the nonprofit State Futures to highlight their coordinated legislative alliance to protect communities and confront increasing federal authoritarian tactics, such as experienced by Minnesota residents with the escalation of force by thousands of masked, heavily armed federal agents in the wake of the killings of Renee Good and Alex Pretty. After the Minnesota State Senate hearings on ICE activity in Minnesota at the state capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota, several of the state legislators from numerous states held a press conference, the audio of which we share with you now.
My name is Mahmoud Nur. I'm a state representative representing District 60B in Minneapolis. What we've witnessed and seen over the last 2 months is nothing short of an invasion of a federal government in our state, in our cities, in our neighborhoods. For the last 2 months, we've been dealing with individual rights, civil rights, broken left and right. What we have seen is our own neighborhoods and our own streets whereby we get every level of gas that can be thrown at human beings. Whether it's green color, white color, whatever it is, that we don't know the long-term impact. But above all, Renee Good and Alex Pretty lost their lives. They stood up for what is right. They stood up for who we are as Minnesotans. My friends, Minnesotans, we're strong. We have good courage. Minnesota is a cold place with winter, but our hearts are warm. It's a place that welcomes refugees and immigrants with kindness, with compassion, and with the belief that everyone deserves dignity and safety. Right now, Minnesotans are hurting. There are no words that can fully capture the pain, the fear, the disruption families have experienced over the last 2 months. What is happening here is not normal. It's not who we are again. It should concern every American, no matter where you live, who you voted for. I personally have been stopped in my own neighborhood, where they show up almost every single day, to be asked to identify myself. They took photos to scan our faces so that they can put in their databases. Nobody's asking what they're going to do with that. They've detained U.S. citizens in front of me while I'm begging them to let them go. They kidnapped them, took them to the federal building and released them. And some of them with the Border Patrol who came to my neighborhood, took individuals. When they came back, they came with a lot of injuries. I'm sure you've seen the photos of Ramos, the five-year-old. My own kid's school in middle school and high school went into lockdown because of fear of ICE being outside the school. Never imagined that we will go on a lockdown when there's a law enforcement outside. Our hospitals across the metro state, in the metro area, are experiencing hardship. They're in every hospital as I speak with you, with individuals who have been detained. Giving you an example of two patients, one of them who was detained by ICE, who's legally here, we're being told that he ran into a wall, that he broke his skull. And another person, because of not only do they have Metro surge that they've talked about, They also have Operation Paris, which grabs and kidnaps refugees who are legally here. And that person who's a patient was denied medication. They had to bring her with mechanical ventilator, that she had to be put in ICU, intubated, cared for. While the hospital demanded that they leave the hospital, they refused to leave the hospital. That people are refusing to go for routine cares because they are afraid. This is not America. This is not where we came to seek a better life. We can talk about many things that we have seen. Even today, as I speak with you, they are on our streets in Minneapolis, to the extent that the district of Minneapolis had to issue a statement when a vehicle that belonged to Minneapolis Public Schools was told do not move while they were doing their own thing of trying to abduct another person. And hence the photos that went into the public, people thinking that they were using Minneapolis Public Schools vans, but they told them do not move while they're moving to their actions. Everyone who's here, you will bear witness to a lot of atrocities. You will bear witness that we've moved away from protecting the rights of individuals. You will bear witness that we as a collective that have to stand for everyone who is being punished for who they are, just because of the skin of their color, just because of their accent, just because of who they look like. And it's sanctioned from the top. There's no doubt that we will be in a better place if ICE leaves today. There's no better time by giving us conditions and saying, if you do this, if you do that, nothing will solve that problem if we still have ICE agents who are not targeting individuals, but targeting communities of color. That's right. Not only communities of color, they're also targeting Native Americans in my own district. I could talk the whole day and speak about every single day atrocities that we've seen on our streets. We must come together and say no. We must come together and defend our rights. We must come together to defend the constitutional rights that we all have if we want a better America. My friends, I want you to go out and see how the schools right now have become a place where every corner there are people who are watching out. And we're being told those are terrorists. When we define people who are defending their communities, when I've got people who cannot leave their homes today because of fear, legal residents, citizens who cannot come out, that their neighbors are supporting one another. The neighbors who are coming together every single day to provide them groceries, the help, the routine things that every person takes normal.
I am Representative Emma Greenman, and I represent South Minneapolis, which is home to the Minnesota Veterans Hospital, where Alex Preddy cared for our veterans. And it's about a mile away from where Renee Good was killed by federal agents for protecting her neighbors. And today, I started the day the same way many of my colleagues started, with an bracing for an onslaught of texts, of signal chains, of whistles, of neighbors and friends and colleagues warning of people being abducted by armed masked agents, of bystanders being harassed, sometimes illegally detained by federal agents, of kids missing from schools and workers being stalked by ICE at construction sites, at restaurants, and so many school parking lots. Every day, and the worst, on the worst days, twice in 2 weeks, neighbors shot dead by federal agents for the act of protecting their community. And for that, their families and their loved ones are subject to lies, to propaganda, and bullying from Trump, from the government, and from his far-right followers. This is Trump's day of reckoning and retribution, and we are going into the third month. And nothing has changed since Greg Bovino left and Tom Homan came, promising a change of tone. Just this morning, ICE agents in the North Metro pulled over two 16-year-old students on their way to school. No warrant, no explanation. In Minneapolis, neighbors were hit by chemical munitions, and in a separate incident, constitutional observers were rammed in their cars by ICE. Agents punched an observer in the jaw in a hospital, and in another incident, seven agents surrounded an observer, broke their car window, and arrested them. And I'm not done, because this morning I asked my colleagues for what's happening in their community, and I have limited it in the interest of time. In the last few days in the western suburbs, an educator's spouse, a legal resident, was detained by ICE with no explanation. A Somali mother-to-be, a U.S. citizen from Eden Prairie, was followed and harassed on her way to a prenatal appointment. In Northfield, masked ICE agents went door-to-door at an apartment, again, without a warrant. And in Belle Plaine, federal agents have reportedly attempted entry into a child care center. And this week, we saw a video of an ICE agent telling a peaceful observer, quote, "You raise your voice, and I will erase your voice." This is after two of our community members were killed by ICE. Does that sound like de-escalation to you?
No.
Changing their uniforms or their tone of voice does not erase the federal agents who continue to turn their guns on their own people, acting lawlessly without warrants, without rules, without respect for the First, the Second, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Tenth, or the 14th Amendments. Believe your eyes. Believe your ears. And we aren't the first American city to experience Trump's out-of-control federal occupation. Our legislative counterparts, and you're going to hear from a few, standing right here with us in Illinois, in L.A., in Portland, in D.C., in North Carolina, know this feeling all too well. And others here wonder, when will they be next? That's why they're here with us, standing in solidarity and with a shared purpose, because they know that Minnesota is Trump's testing ground for what happens next. It's an inflection point for our country, and it is also the place where we are mobilizing our power as a state and as a people, as an American people, to put this lawless federal authoritarian power grab to an end. And while we're not the first state targeted, Minnesota is the place where people around the country started to believe their eyes. Americans are starting to see the out-of-control federal regime clearly for the first time. And let's be clear about what's happening here. ICE is just the brutal enforcer, the tip of the spear of Trump's plan of unchecked executive power. The Trump regime sent 3,000 armed, masked federal agents into our neighborhoods while demanding our voting rolls, while investigating our elected officials, and while using executive action to try to strip vulnerable Minnesotans of health care and child care as retribution. This is not about public safety or immigration. What this is about is a president of the United States trying to force policy change, investigate his political opposition, and commandeer our voting rolls and our elections under the barrel of a gun.
Yes.
3,000 guns in Minneapolis and Minnesota. But that's not how this works. That's not how America should be. Not on our watch. So now is not the time to stop believing your eyes. It is the time to hold the line. Holding the line is what communities across Minnesota have been doing for weeks, months, since January 2025, actually. And I'm a voting rights lawyer. Government by the people is what I have spent my life defending and strengthening. Here in Minnesota, we know a little something about people-powered democracy. And what I see right now is democracy in its truest form. We see neighbors practicing democracy by protecting their community members and their constitutional rights, observing, documenting, protesting, striking, rallying, feeding, educating, and using their bodies as a shield against state-sanctioned violence and terror. In Minnesota, we are holding the line for our neighbors and our freedom and American democracy. But we cannot do this alone. We are not doing this alone. So I have a few asks, because I'm an organizer and I wouldn't leave without an ask. We need every U.S. senator to vote against any budget that funds this lawless, authoritarian ICE and Border Patrol. Here in Minnesota, we are asking our colleagues here and on both sides of the aisle to use all the power you have to stop this federal assault on our communities and our country. And we are asking state leaders in other states who join us here today and to you to take the message back to your people. It is stand with us and hold the line. And to our communities, to the Minnesotans in our schools, protecting our neighbors, standing up in our streets, who have been holding the line everywhere. We are so proud of you. Mm-hmm. We are proud of your strength and your courage and your resilience and your heart in the face of this terror. And we will be with you. We will be with you in our streets. We will be with you in this beautiful capital. And we will be with you around the country protecting our rights and our Constitution for as long as it takes, not just to end this here in Minnesota, not just to end this here in the country, but to realize the democracy that we are here fighting for.
Right. Yes. Hi, and thank you all for being here today. My name is Cora Newman. I'm a state senator from Montana. And together with my colleagues standing here around me in State Futures, we have organized this in 10 days' time. Last Saturday, I reached out to some of my colleagues here in Minnesota and across the country and to State Futures and said, we need to use every lever that we have in this moment. What do we have as states that we can use to assert states' rights and to come together and say, we will not stand for this? The turning point for me personally was watching a video my cousin took on his street here in Minneapolis of ICE agents pulling up around one of his neighbors, jumping out of the car, refusing to ask questions. What you have all seen day in and day out was sent to me by someone in my family. I was raised by Holocaust refugees. And what I saw that day was Gestapo. What I saw that day were the stories that my grandparents told me. Thank God they got out, but they barely got out. They were rounded up, taken into dark rooms, harassed, almost killed, and they barely escaped. So I stand here today as the daughter, as the granddaughter of Holocaust refugees, but also as a Montanan. I'm here from Montana, and we have here today many colleagues from other red states, ruby red states, purple states, where immigrants in Montana, immigrants only make up 2.2% of our population. So some might ask, why is a Montana senator standing with Minnesota? The answer is simple. What's happening in Minnesota is a test case for federal overreach that threatens every single state in this country. And Montanans would never take lightly to uninvited federal government agents in masks coming onto our land. And if you know any Montanans, you know that about us. And as we have seen these past few weeks, neither do the people of Minnesota. And I just want to say, we see you, Minnesota. We see you. We either stand together now or we fall separately later. I want to start off by explaining why today matters, why a gathering of state legislators from across the country matters. This is the first time since the Hartford Convention of 1814 that this many states have come together to take a unified stand against federal action. In December of 1814, five New England states sent 26 delegates to Hartford to oppose what they saw as federal overreach during the War of 1812. They drafted constitutional amendments. They demanded limits on federal power. They asserted the rights of states to defend their own people. Today, more than 200 years later, lawmakers from 27 states, more than five times as many as were in Hartford, are standing together. And this is growing into something even bigger. My colleagues in New York released yesterday a letter with nearly 600 state legislators from 47 states, the majority, the overwhelming majority of the United States, demanding accountability. This is not Democrats versus the Republicans. This is not coastal areas versus heartland states. This is ruby red states and deep blue states, rural communities and major cities united by one principle. The federal government has crossed a line. Mm-hmm. And just like the delegates at Hartford, we are not here only to speak. We are here to act together. This is not symbolic. We are coordinating legislation across all 27 states to limit federal overreach and protect our communities. There are now 85 bills and counting that we are working on together to pass in our respective states. These pieces of legislation will require federal agents to coordinate with local law enforcement, mandate transparency and accountability for federal operations, protect constitutional rights from warrantless arrests and racial profiling, guarantee state access to crime scenes involving federal agents, establish real consequences when federal agencies operate with impunity. Montana will introduce this legislation, Minnesota will, South Dakota will, Vermont will, Kansas will, and 22 other states standing with us today will. When 27 legislatures move together, Washington should take notice. Montana has a long history of pushing back when Washington oversteps. We have challenged unconstitutional federal firearms regulations. We've asserted state authority over how federal policies are implemented. We fought federal overreach on land use, environmental rules, and election laws. We know what it looks like when Washington decides it knows better than local communities. And what we are seeing in Minnesota should alarm every American who believes in federalism, the Constitution, and the rule of law. Another thing that I wanted to share, if you saw recently, a few days ago, a federal national poll came out that showed that 80% of Americans do not believe that the murder of Alex Preddy was justified. So let me just say again, 80% of Americans, that is Democrats, Republicans, rural communities, urban communities, people from every background. So when we come together here from 27 states, what we are representing is the will of the American people. We're not here as legislators. We are here to represent our constituents, and our constituents say no. 80% of Americans are saying that Minnesota are seeing that Minnesota is being used as a testing ground. And we are saying no more masked militarized agents with no transparency and no coordination. Two American citizens dead in 3 weeks, and that's all that we know of. While local police made hundreds of arrests last year without firing a single shot, if this became normal in Minnesota, what stops it from coming to Montana? Thank you all for coming and joining us today. What we are doing here today is sending a clear message not only of how historic this moment is, that not in over 200 years have this many states come together to say no more, and to the federal government, you have crossed a line. But we are coming together from 27 states, the majority of this country, to represent our constituents and say, we need accountability and we need your trust that we can rule, that we can legislate and support our communities, that our communities and our legislators know best. Thank you.
Good afternoon, friends, neighbors, fighters for justice. I stand with you not as an elected first, but as a sister in the struggle. I'm State Senator Graciela Guzman, daughter of Salvadorian immigrants, proud to come from the state of Illinois, and proud to be joined with my sister, Representative Norma Hernandez, co-chair of the Illinois Latino Caucus. From Chicago to Minneapolis, from the streets of Little Village to the streets of Duluth, there is a thread that binds us all. It is our shared resistance against a federal government that would treat human beings as disposable. This is fascism. We all know that what is happening is far worse than what you're seeing on your screens and in the news. You already know that what federal agents are doing to your communities, but let us name it plainly and clear without fear. A lawless, unaccountable arm of the state, insulated from consequences, that is using state violence against our people. That is exactly why we are here resisting. In January alone, Minnesotans Renee Nicole Good and Alex Preddy were fatally shot by federal immigration agents. Tragedies that have shaken your neighborhoods and ours and have echoed throughout this country. This violence is not isolated. It is national and it is systemic. And in the state of Illinois, we know this pain too. We lost Silverio Villegas Gonzalez, a father, a worker, a neighbor, who was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Franklin Park after dropping off his children at daycare. We lost Nenko Stanev-Ganchev, a longtime Chicago business owner who died in eye custody, very, very far away from the people who loved him the most on his earth. Far too many others have perished in federal detention, denied care and dignity, and their names added to a grim ledger that just spans years and administrations. These names should break us all open. These were human beings, mothers and fathers and neighbors, losses that our movements will carry with us every single day. To the people of Minnesota who are fighting back to take back your streets, your homes, your dignities, we are here because your struggle is our struggle too. Your courage to speak truth to power lifts us all up. And this fight is not new. It is part of a long arc in the immigrant justice movement in this country. Marchers who walked through the snow and the sun for justice. Workers who organized in factories and in fields. Families who opened their doors to neighbors because they knew that their survival depended on shared community care. So for them, we say, presente, we see you. We are living in a moment where people are taking the streets not for spectacle, not for headlines, but because every single organ of power has failed them. Minnesotans have faced illegal detention, assault, intimidation, threats, and the destabilization of our schools, workplaces, hospitals, and homes. And what they are saying is simple. No more. ICE must leave Minnesota, ICE must leave everywhere, ICE must be abolished, because no institution that terrorizes our communities for profit deserves to exist. So let us be clear. This is not about public safety, this is about public terror. When federal agents storm neighborhoods with tear gas, with rubber bullets, and brutalize people without cause, and attack peaceful protest, we are all made less safe. No amount of authoritarian tactics, however, no amount of tear gas, no amount of brutalizing, no amount of attacks, however, will make us turn ourselves and our eyes away from our neighbors. Not in Minnesota, not in Illinois, not anywhere. This link stretches between all of us across this country because fascism always has an end. Fascism always has an end. And that end is found in our shared organizing that builds power from the ground up in communities that hold each other up when the state turns its back. Yeah. So let us organize like our lives depend upon it, because it does. Because it does. Let us use every tool possible to protect our communities, our voices, our laws. Let us reinforce our state laws to ensure that sanctuary is a principle in every single corner of this country. And in the absence of moral clarity from the federal government, they might have to try to pry it out of our cold hands, colleagues. Doesn't make it less correct. Illinois was bounded by solidarity values. So let's not get it twisted. When one community is under attack, we're all under attack. When communities are torn apart, when workers die in custody, when children are terrorized, that diminishes all of us. So we're not here to beg for justice. We are here to demand it. In Illinois and across every single state in this country, we will not be silenced. We will not back down. Because this is our fight. This is our fight for humanity, and we will win it together. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Senator Lindsay Port. I represent District 55 in the South Metro. And we just got done with about a four-hour hearing from Minnesotans about their stories, about what's happening. I want to thank the many lawmakers from around the country for joining us here to bear witness today. And I want to start out by calling something that not many of us say out loud. If the state of Minnesota passes a law to ban masks for law enforcement, or agents have to respect essential safe places like schools and hospitals and churches and courthouses, then Americans have the right to sue the federal government if they have been wronged. If we pass any or all of those laws, what would it mean when Donald Trump's government already won't follow the laws we have, including our most fundamental laws, the Constitution? Even lawmakers have these moments of doubt. Do we have the power to stand up right now? Do we have the ability to make a difference for our communities? Every time I feel that way, I meet someone or see something that changes my mind and gives me the hope I need. I see parents that surround the bus stops in my community so kids can get to school. I hear whistles as ICE raids another neighborhood to warn our neighbors. I watch and rewatch videos of Minnesotans observing and documenting, putting their bodies on the line, knowing the risk could be death. And today, I saw Minnesotans come together and bravely testify about the illegal invasion of our communities and the harm that it has caused, is still causing, and how we can fight back to protect each other. Minnesota has never had a select committee on federal impacts in its history. And that's because we've never needed one. We've never had a hostile federal government led by a president who tries to justify withholding funds, depriving people of rights, and killing Americans as an act of retribution, his own word. I hope that in the near future, Minnesota has no further use of a committee like this. But I would suggest that every state needs a committee like this right now. What's happening in Minnesota will happen next in another state. Masked, unaccountable ICE agents and Border Patrol agents aren't being fired or suspended when they're caught breaking the law. They're being reassigned and sent somewhere else to another person's community. Their budget is scheduled to grow by $170 billion, and they are planning to hire another 10,000 agents in the next year, on top of the 12,000 new hires they rushed into service last year. In February, when the Minnesota legislature comes into session, we will act to reclaim our sovereignty, inscribing the rights that belong to all Americans, and demanding accountability for the agents who perpetrated this evil and the leaders who sent them here. I am proud to see similar legislation already passed and being introduced and advancing in other states. States are the laboratories of democracy, and right now, we are researching the cure for an authoritarian government. I welcome the contributions and the collaboration of all of the states represented here. This is a test of our republic, of the rights of people against someone who sees himself as a king, his deputies, agents, and his enablers. We're all in this together. And the only way we will get through this to a better future is together. We will not break. We will not stop. We will continue to stand for our communities. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm State Senator Ryan Brownberger from District 10 in Fargo, North Dakota. To answer your question, is we are starting to see ICE agents within our communities as well. As of last week, I know there has been at least 20 individuals that have been abducted in the city of Fargo. We are building support networks for those communities actively. Fargo is unique because we have a very big connection to the Minneapolis market. A lot of the immigrant communities that live in Minneapolis also have connection to the Fargo area. So they're all being equally terrorized because they're seeing their family members in Minneapolis being terrorized just as much as it's happening here. So it can happen everywhere. We're smaller cities, so it's not happening nearly as much, but it is happening in our communities as well.
Hi, I'm Tennessee State Representative Justin J. Pearson, and I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, representing District 86. And our state is dealing with the occupation of this administration right now. The city of Memphis has over 1,400 federal agents from every agency, including the Border Patrol, ICE, and many different other ones. 319 of our community members have already been deported and taken out of our city. Several of our businesses, especially black businesses and immigrant businesses, have closed down due to the federal occupation and the organizing that has happened with Free the 901, Vincent Darius 901, and so many others is really trying to keep our community together. But just because you have Republican leadership does not spare you from an authoritarian and a dictator that wants to abuse his power, kidnapping, hurting, harming our communities. And our city is blue, right? We have a Democratic mayor and Democratic power, but that does not make you immune. This is what we are realizing, what's being articulated here. This is a power-hungry administration that is using and abusing their authority and a power against all people, including people who are citizens of these communities, attacking kids at school, kidnapping parents as they're dropping them off. This is what's happening all across the country. So it isn't blue city, blue state versus red state. Like, we are still dealing with the occupation in the South, in Memphis, and they're going to governors where they are less likely to face resistance. which is why what we are doing is so important and why this power that we're building matters, because this is going national and they're finding conduits with these Republican governors to then attack black and brown people, but particularly in cities that are typically Democratic led.
A quick follow-up for you. In your city and also for the senator from Illinois, what has been the level of resistance among citizens of your city and state compared to what you're seeing in Minnesota?
Absolutely. Look, what's happening in Minnesota is inspiring me, and seeing how organized everyone is and how the leadership is working here. An idea that I'm taking back to Memphis is that we're going to hold a public hearing on ICE getting out of our community, so that people can have an opportunity to testify in the ways that we saw here and be heard by people who are in positions of power. But as I said, we have over 30 organizations, once we learned about our occupation, that came together in Memphis and said, look, no matter what, we need to figure out how we fight together, how we stand together. And even amidst this, people have tried to create joy and have held joy parties, while at the same time we have an immigrant food pantry to help people who can't go to the grocery store because they're worried about what ICE is doing. But in Memphis, I think we are learning. We are organizing, and we are learning from each other about how we fight back, because this is going to take all of us to preserve this constitutional democratic republic experiment called America. It is going to take all of us standing up and speaking up and showing up and doing something in this time. If anybody is sitting at home or on the sidelines, you are part of the oppression.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to do something. And joining in this community, in this group, or joining with organizations locally is a part of the power that we have. And for elected officials that are in Memphis and that are in Tennessee, Republicans and Democrats, who think this is somebody else's issue, you need to do your job,
right.
Including colleagues that I love and that I respect. We all have to do more. That's what I got from this. I'm going to do more because of what's happening here. Like, we all have to figure out how to do more, because this cannot continue. Yep. Representative Justin J. Pearson, J-U-S-T-I-N, J dot, I always use my middle initial, P-E-A-R-S-O-N, from Memphis, Tennessee.
And Memphis local law enforcement, what's
your... I'm not trying to turn this into my press conference. Our city has a responsibility to protect its people, and there has been too many times where I've seen ICE riding in Memphis Police Department cars, and then our mayor saying that our police isn't cooperating with ICE, and we're being told not to believe our eyes. And so I'm going back with a harder line as I go back home from being up here in Minnesota, that our city, our police force, all need to quit any cooperation at all with ICE or any federal agent, period. And don't tell us that the videos people are taking of Border Patrol being in police cars that our taxes are paying for is not happening. We need to end any engagement at all with ICE or these federal agents that are occupying our city.
I'll be brief. State Senator Graciela Guzman, that's G-R-A-C-I-E-L-A-G-U-Z-M-A-N of the 20th District in Illinois. And we are a state that is a Democratic supermajority. We have passed sanctuary law across sanctuary law, including laws that preclude and stop any cooperation with law enforcement, that stop the construction of detention centers. We just passed the Safety and Liberation Together Act that has five different pieces, including much of like what you heard in terms of the rule of law and right of action. That being said, your central question was, what do the citizenry have to say? Over 80% of Illinoisans say ICE needs to get the hell out. They need to get the hell out and stop the practice that they're doing in our communities. Just this morning, as we were arriving to this hearing in Minnesota, there were multiple calls of ICE in our community. We put out a call for school watch. You know how many shifts we got filled in less than 1 hour's time? 200 shifts across one section of north part of Chicago. What that tells you is our citizenry is not just talking about it, they're doing about it. They want to see legislators that are passing laws. They want to see legislators that understand that mutual aid and rapid response have to be a part of our government structure, that actually serving our constituents means that we are doing everything to lift up structures that protect our communities, which is why in the state of Illinois, we also have a central reporting hotline. One hotline across the entire state of Illinois. It's why we have data about the atrocities. It's why we have a truth commission that serves in the state of Illinois to bear witness and accountability to what needs to happen. And I'm hopeful that our colleagues will continue doing those practices, because it's not just our lawmakers, it's our constituents that are saying we are personally impacted. These are our neighbors. These are our workers. These are the people that we love, and ICE needs to get the hell out.
Good afternoon. My name is Long Tran, state representative down in Georgia. And I can tell you unequivocally, there is no cushion In Georgia, we had the nation's largest immigration raid in a rural town with over 300 Koreans deported. We have the fourth highest rate of detention in the country. We see ICE in every corner of our state. Our farmers and our small businesses are screaming at the top of their lungs, save us, because the economic damage that it is doing to our communities is destroying small towns. And so, no, there is no cushion for red states like Georgia.
I'm just going to chime in really quickly, because those red states who have ICE presence, Montana is a red state that does not, or very little in its beginning. And we have some of our Native American legislators here who can share more about that experience and the challenges there. But this, I want to say that this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this together, is because we need states that don't have ICE activity to see that we could be next. And even if we are not next, the federal government is breaking the law. It is defying the Constitution. And when every single one of our children and every child that looks back at this, again, Democrat, Republican from every state, when they look back at this point in history, they are going to ask all of us what we did. And if I say, well, I was in a state that didn't have, you know, so I was okay, that is not acceptable. No matter what is happening in your state, the federal government is treading on us. And we are saying no more.
You have just heard a press conference from January 29th, 2026, by state legislators from numerous states after a day of solidarity convened by the nonprofit organization State Futures, held after a Minnesota State Senate hearing on ICE activity in Minnesota at the state capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota. It brought together more than 40 state legislators from 13 states in person, and more than 100 state legislators from 27 states who participated virtually. Thanks to State Futures for permission to share this recording. You can find out more about the conference and their work at statefutures.org. This has been a Beyond the Deep End production, produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman. KGVM depends entirely on our listeners for the financial support needed to continue bringing you quality programs of, by, and for our community. You can do your part by going to kgvm.org and click on the Gold Support KGVM button at the top of the page. We thank you for listening and for your support.
Sirens in the night, people asking why we stand here together. We won't pass it by. Hey, we won't be silent while our friends are gunned down. Hey, we won't be silent while our friends are gunned down. We won't be silent while our friends are gunned down.
Hands held up high, tears in our eyes. We are still standing,
we choose to rise. Hey, oh, we won't be silent while our friends are gunned down. Hey, oh, we won't be silent while our friends are gunned down.
No backing down.
Hey, oh, we won't be silent while our friends are gunned down.
Say their names, say their names. We remember, we remain.
Hey, oh, we won't be silent while our friends are gunned down. Hey, oh, we won't be silent while our friends are gunned down.
winter's ice and cold down Nicolet Avenue. A city of flame fought fire and ice neath an occupier's boots. King Trump's private army from the DHS, guns belted to their coats, came to Minneapolis to enforce the law, or so their story goes. Against smoke and rubber bullets in the dawn's early light, citizens stood for justice, their voices ringing through the night. And there were bloody footprints where mercy should have stood, and two dead left to die on snow-filled streets, Alex Pretty and Renee Good. Or Minneapolis, I hear your voice singing through the bloody mist. We'll take our stand for this land and the stranger in our midst. Here in our home they killed and roamed in the winter of 26. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. Trump's federal thugs beat up on his face and his chest. Then we heard the gunshots and Alex Pretty lay in the snow dead. Their claim was self-defense, sir. Just don't believe your eyes. It's our blood and bones and these whistles and phones against Miller and Noam's dirty lies. Oh, I'm Minneapolis, I hear your voice crying through the bloody mist. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. Hold the law, but they trample on our rights. If your skin is black or brown, my friend, you can be questioned or deported on sight. In our chance of ice out now, our city's heart and soul persists. Through broken glass and bloody tears on the streets of Minneapolis. Oh, I'm Minneapolis, I hear your voice singing through the bloody mist. Here in our home they killed and roamed in the winter of 26. We'll take our stand for this land. Streets of Minneapolis. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis.